Blessings, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Mystic Radio. I'm your host, Paul James Caden, and this week we are going to be talking about Zikr, Z-I-K-E-R, and the remembrance or contemplation of God through His holy or most beautiful names. We're also going to talk about the oneness of God. And I promise you this will be the last foundation video as we get into this new podcast, Mystic Radio. After this, we're still going to talk about mysticism, and we're going to learn things about it, but we're going to do so at least in part by looking at some of the things that are going on in the world and going on in, the realm of religion. You know, there's so many cults and opinions and, you know, fundamentalists who are screaming our way or no way, our way or, you know, hellbound. You know, there's just so many strange things going on in the world right now that I wanted to start taking a look at those things and looking at them through the lens of mysticism and kind of showing where these things might originate from, what's causing a lot of these bizarre religious fanaticism in our world, and what the answer to a lot of this fanaticism and just being overboard with crazy ideas, you know, what the answer to all of that is, because it really does create a very bad picture for religion, for an argument for the concept and the reality of God. And, it's no wonder that some people who are seeking or atheists, and they look at the religious landscape and they say, man, you know, it's just littered with kooks and killers and terrorists and judgmental people. And we want to look at why, some of that is, and hopefully, at least for ourselves as individuals, we can straighten a lot of that mess out and live a more peaceful life. This is exactly why I came back to my mystical path. I never really gave it up. It was always there in the background, but I've always been a spiritual explorer. And, just the last few years of spiritual exploration, I've seen a lot of crazy. And I just said, I'm just going full bore back to my mystical roots that I've been on for a little over a decade now. And even before that, you know, I had very mystical ideas. I guess one could say, you know, like there are natural born mystics, natural born, whatever the case may be. And I always had very mystical ideas and practices, and I never had a name for it. I didn't know what mysticism was till I found out, you know, years later. And then I was like, wow, that's me. You know, that's exactly, fits me as a spiritual person, what my path is, what my belief system is. So we're going to get into that, and this show is going to get a lot more interesting, I promise. I know many of you don't like the instructional videos. They're kind of boring, but these are for a reason, to give you the foundation that we're going to build on after all of this. So this is important, and it will serve a purpose as we go forward on this journey and in this podcast. When it comes to this subject, there are endless topics to choose from. The world of religious strangeness goes far and wide and deep. Also the practice of mysticism. I want to share more meditations and more things of that nature that people can listen to. So a lot going on here and a lot that's coming, and this should be I'm sure there will be other videos just talking about practices of mysticism, but I want to keep it interesting by teaching those things by looking at what mysticism and what religion isn't. And there's a lot of isn't out there in the world today. So let's get into this idea of zikr. What is zikr? Zikr is drawing close to God or remembering God through chanting the holy or beautiful names of God. Now, in Islam, there are said to be 99 beautiful names of God revealed in the Quran. And you can find those online. You can find those in books. I have this little flash card. It's probably backwards on the camera, but 99 names of Allah flashcards. And we see this one. You don't necessarily have to say these in Arabic, but it is as salam, and the meaning of that in English is the giver of peace. And on the card it reads, "He grants peace and security, and God invites to the home of peace, paradise, and guides whom He wills to a straight path." And that is a verse from the Quran. So Sufis, Sufi mystics, contemplate the 99 names of God in Arabic from the Quran, from the tradition of Islam. And we're going to get into how to do that in just a moment. And this is a practice, again, it is called zikr. If you are a Christian mystic, there's also tools out there. I have these that I bought a while ago. If you're a Christian mystic, you can contemplate the names of Christ. And I have these cards I bought a ways back, The Power of His Names by Joshua Mills. Joshua Mills is definitely, in my opinion, quite a character and a shyster televangelist. But these are really cool cards that help you contemplate the names of Christ if you're a practitioner of Christian mysticism. And an example of one of the cards is the Good Shepherd. And again, it has a little blurb on the card. It says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep," from John 10:11. And these cards also come with a little booklet that expounds more on the names of Christ and what they mean, as mentioned in the Bible. So if you're a Christian mystic, this would be a great little tool to have to help contemplate the names of Christ. If you're Jewish or Christian, you could also go to the Hebrew Bible and contemplate the Hebrew names of God. I mean, there is Elohim, there is El Shaddai, there are, I don't remember how many of them there are. I think there's 9 or 10, but the names of God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is your provider, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. So, if you're a Jewish mystic or a Christian mystic, you can also contemplate those Hebrew names of God from the Old Testament writings. So, how do we practice zikr? Now, if you're following the Sufi path of mysticism, I'm one of those people of the belief, if you don't want to say the name in Arabic, as salam, you don't have to. Some of them are very hard to pronounce, and I just try to look them up or do the best I can with them. But you could also just say the English version, the giver of peace. Now, there are going to be some people who will say, when it comes just a footnote here, when we're talking about Islam, a lot of people hear that word and their faces turn to stone. You know, they think about the terrorists and all of the terrible, you know, crazy things that some of the Muslim sects believe in. And that is something we are going to address in this podcast, you know, a little bit later down the road here. What Islam is, what it was, and what it has become in what we see today, especially coming out of these, you know, very radical Middle Eastern countries that have these regimes, you know, in their government. There's a story as to why that happened and why Islam became what it is today, but that is changing, and there are people within the Islamic community looking to change that. And we're going to get into what happened, why the religion became polluted over time, what and you know where all this came from. If you're looking at Sufi mysticism, it tries to preserve the more peaceful, liberal, open-minded, original tradition of Islam that they got from Muhammad. They are nonviolent, they are non-judgmental, they embrace you know, all religions. If you're a Christian, that's great. If you're a Jew, that's great. If you're a Buddhist, that's great. You know, they don't push things on people or judge, you know, religion. The Sufis believe that we all call on the one God. We just may refer to him by different names. And I am, to an extent, in agreement with that, but in some cases, not, which is, again, something we'll talk about later. But I talk about these Islamic sects because one of the things they get into is they think, you know, when you're reading the Quran for prayer, or there is a an Islamic healing method called ruqya, and it is reading healing verses of the Quran over a person for mental, spiritual, or physical healing. But they'll be adamant, you have to say it in Hebrew, you have to read it, or not in Hebrew, you have to read it in Arabic, you have to say those verses in Arabic. If you say it in English, it's no good, it's invalid. And you know, this gets into an area like, you know, some of the dogmatic things of Christianity, where it just gets nonsensical. We're not all Arabs. You know, we're not all Jewish, we're not all Greek, we're not all Russian. We all speak different languages, but it means the same thing. You know, As-Salam means the giver of peace. You know, God isn't an Arab. God isn't a Hebrew. God isn't a white American. God is spirit. And he created us all, and created us in a diverse number of races. So if you're doing this and you want to say the English words of God as you contemplate the names of God, I say certainly do it. Don't get hung up if you know, if you're starting this path and you run across the people that say, oh, it must, you know, it must be, you know, in Arabic. You know, no, we're going to address again some of these problems later on in podcasts. So I just wanted to cover that, because if this show sparks your interest in Sufism and you begin that journey, you may run into some of these issues and dogmatic. You know, it always has to be you know, in Arabic, and there are some traditional Muslims who think if you don't say the five daily prayers in Arabic, well, God doesn't hear your prayers. And that's just you know, again, that just gets into being nonsensical, and that's a culture thing, and we'll talk about how that, you know, came about when we address all that later. But I just wanted to leave those footnotes in this particular podcast for now, so that you're aware of them. And if you encounter these problems, or you're hearing the word Islam and you get that face, Because it's got to be evil. They're chopping off heads, and they're not all that way, believe me. There's a lot of misconceptions we have in the West based on the crazies, just like some people base what they know about Christianity only on the fundamentalist crazies and fanatics who are out there screaming and yelling and threatening violence and damning people to hell. Not all Christians are that way, not at all, but not by a long shot. And just the same way, not all Muslims are violent head choppers and all that sort of thing. Even in Judaism, there are some sects of Judaism who believes all Gentiles are soulless dogs, and we will either be killed, destroyed, or enslaved in the end of the time when their Messiah comes. And the religion of Judaism spreads across the world. We're you and I, if we don't have Jewish blood or Jewish descent, we're just pretty much walking, talking animals. We don't have a soul. And then there are sects of Judaism who say that's absolutely ridiculous. This is, Talmudism, it is Zionism, it is, making a race superior to everybody else that God has created. So, we have the crazies in every religion, no matter what it is, and we can't judge the whole by a few. And we'll get into all those kind of things a bit later, but let's get into zikr, the practice of zikr. How do we do it? Why do we do it? Well, it's the remembrance of God through chanting his names, whatever those names may be that you choose, if you're a Christian mystic, a Jewish mystic, Sufi. There are names out there to contemplate, to chant. And the reason for this is the way it was presented and taught to me is that we chant the names of God and we contemplate them while we chant them, because it brings us, like muraqabah, it brings us into that presence of God. It brings us into a meditative, concentrated state. But it also, as we chant and meditate those names, we get a greater understanding of what those names mean and how they apply to us and our world and the universe and everything around us. And so zikr, brings us closer to God, into the presence of God, greater understanding of God, but also greater understanding of ourselves through how those names of God apply to us as human beings. So, and it's I'll tell you, it's a great practice, and again, it's really brought a lot of peace and just enlightenment to my life. Now, the way a lot of people practice zikr, if we take the name As-Salam, they will close their eyes and they'll say it rather rapidly in a chant. As-Salam, 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 and they'll just chant the name of God. And sometimes I do it that way, but the way I was taught was a little bit slower. So if I'm going to practice zikr with this name, I will close my eyes, I'll just breathe, relax, and just As-Salam. As-Salam. And you'll notice there are pauses in there, and those pauses are to take those short inward glances and contemplations of the divine name, where it really resonates. How do I understand God better through this name, the giver of peace? How does God relate to me through that name, the giver of peace? What does that mean to me as a person and my world. You know, how, you know, Sufis will say, as we learn how those names relate to us, we get to know ourselves more in that meditative state. And remember what we talked about in one of our first shows, the Sufis say, those who know God know themselves. So you have a greater understanding of yourself through the characteristics, through the personality of God. So you could do it quickly, you know, just close your eyes and again, just relax for a couple of minutes, relax the body, relax the mind, breathe, and you could do it quickly, as-salam, as-salam. Or you could do it the way I prefer, a little slower, with those inner sacred glimpses and contemplations of the name in the space that you pause in. So it would be as-salam, as-salam. And sometimes when I do it that way, and you may find as well, if you do it with the you know, the Arabic names, the Islamic names for God, or the Christian names of God, or the Jewish names of God, you may sometimes find that those pauses get a little longer, and that's okay. Because there are times in those little inner sacred glances as you contemplate the name that you really get this incredible deep insight and revelation that's just kind of like breathtaking. It's like, wow, it's this whole different panoramic view of God, the giver of peace. And, you know, it may take a while. You're in that state of meditation, just contemplating this grander view of the name of God and how it applies to you and the universe and the personality of the Creator. And that's okay. If you pause for 5 minutes or whatever, you know, where you're getting that grander view of God, let it happen. You know, you don't have to fight it. The chanting of these names is to get you into that meditative state, into that place of silence, closer to God, to know God better. So if you find you pause and you're as-salam, and 5 minutes go by because you're just receiving all this awesome, you know, insight into that name of God, let it happen. That's what zikr is all about. So you know, zikr, it's something you may want to practice. That is Z-I-K-E-R. Again, it's a great meditative practice. And one of the things I do when I practice is I use the little handheld prayer beads. It helps me focus more, helps me not to drift off while I'm chanting the names. And it's helpful to keep my attention on what it is I'm doing. So in the last few moments of this podcast, I want to cover a very important aspect of Sufism, and that is the oneness of God. And this is important because a lot of things we're going to talk about after this show, getting into next week, looking at what mysticism is and what it isn't, what true religion and spirituality is and isn't, by looking at, you know, some of the crazy things that are going on in the world and the spiritual landscape, in order to understand many of the things we're going to talk about from this point onward, we have to understand the concept of the oneness of God. And that concept is Jews in Judaism and Muslims are strict monotheists, and everybody knows this. They believe in one God. They are not believers in a trinity. They are not believers in God and goddesses. They're not believers in anyone being associated with God. God is one. There is one God. There is no mediator between you and God. There is just your relationship with God. And this is extremely important. Now, in Sufism, they do believe in saints. Saints from the Old Testament would be Moses, Elijah, Abraham. You know, there are Sufi saints, you know, great Sufis who died, you know, decades and decades ago, who are looked at as saints, kind of like the Catholic Church. And they do call upon the saints, and, you know, traditional Muslims will say, you know, this is horrible. But they don't attribute those saints to being God or like God. You know, they can be helpers, they can be inspirers like the angels, but they don't answer our prayers. They are not godlike. Other saints in Sufism would be Mary, the mother of Jesus, Jesus himself, who in Islam is considered a great prophet, actually the greatest prophet, because they do believe in the virgin birth. They believe that he was, raised into heaven, after the crucifixion. They believe that Jesus will come again. And there's a lot of different ideas about what, you know, or at least a few different ideas of what that means in Islam. So we're going to cover that down the road too. So, it's important to know where Sufis stand with that kind of thing. As opposed to like the Roman Catholic Church, who, you know, venerate, you know, the saints and look to them to answer prayers as if they're, you know, little demigods. This is not what Sufis do. I mean, there are some Sufi sects that I've seen that might do things like that, but no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. The important thing to know is God is one. There is one God. And we associate no partners with God. You know, of course, we believe in God. We believe in the books, which is the Quran, Old Testament, and the Gospels. We believe in the angels. We believe in the last day. And, but in Sufism, which is the mystical branch of Islam, God is our only helper, our only patron, our only guide, our only helper. We only appeal to God. God is one. There are no other gods, as the Hebrew Bible would say. There are no other gods before him. There are no other gods beside him. You know, so strict monotheism is important in the Islamic and Sufi tradition. Now, there may be some folks out there who hear that and they'll say, yeah, but I want you to put a bookmark in that, yeah, but, because I hope when we get into some of the shows after this one starting next week, that I'm going to be able to show why that strict, pure monotheism is so important, and it's such a wonderful thing, and that if we look at the issue of associating others with God, which, you know, the Quran tells us not to, like the Old Testament, God is one, no other gods, there's one. You know, that doesn't discount angels as helpers and messengers and, you know, things of that nature, but we don't pray to these people. You know, we don't look to Sufi saints or angels to answer our prayers. This is solely up to God alone. You know, you could look at it this way. Angels and saints in the Sufi and Islamic tradition are fellow servants. They are, you know, of course, they're you know, in an elevated state, but they're fellow servants. They're not our lords. They're not our gods. We're not to make idols of them. And, you know, hopefully as we get down the road just a little bit, again, you'll see how wise the concept of true, pure monotheism is, how beautiful it is, and how associating other gods or associating partners with God, as the Quran puts it, has created so many of these problems and cults and crazy religions that are just littered across the landscape of the United States and the world. So this is an important thing to know, the most important thing to know, to remember the oneness of God. This is a foundation we're going to build our mystical teachings and practice on, that hopefully will be extremely eye-opening as we go forward in this podcast and in these teachings. So I appreciate you listening once again this week. I hope you will practice, take some time out to practice zikr, the contemplation and chanting of God's holy, sacred, or beautiful names, from whatever mystic tradition you practice. They're all pretty much the same and so closely related. And I hope that if you are one of those people that maybe felt a little upset or offended or wanted to say, wait a minute, when we talked about not associating partners with God, and you wanted to run to the comments and put something down there and say, yeah, but again, I just want you to put a pin in that and wait and listen and, you know, join future discussions to see where we're going to go with this. And again, I think it will be eye-opening. And I'm also planning on doing some going live, which is something I never done with YouTube, but I also want to start doing some live chats and answering questions and more interaction as we get going. So I think this is going to be a really fun and interesting and informative podcast, and one that I feel is, need I say, very, very much needed in the world today. And I know there's not going to be many who will listen, because this is a subject many people misunderstand, or they just don't care, and that's fine. But if there's a few that get it and go, and they improve their lives, and they improve their relationship with God, they improve their connection with God, then I've done my job and done my service to God. So I appreciate that you listen to this show this week. It's going to start to get interesting in a different way next week, and I hope you'll tune in, because now we have the foundation of Sufism, mysticism, the background that it comes from, and we are really going to start getting into some very interesting things. So thank you again for listening. God bless, and I'll talk to you all again next week.